Are you ready?
I go, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes,
it's time for Sportsline with Chris Hubbell, Harry Sidney, and Marcus Ebersole.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
He squawk a lot.
Yeah, he make a lot of noise.
I don't really care what they think of him.
Chirp, chirp, chirp.
I hear you.
Here's your host, two-time national best-selling author, Chris Hubbell. And joining him today is three-time Super Bowl champion, Harry Sidney.
Yeah, cool.
Now, live from Green Bay, here's Chris and Harry on The Fan.
Good Tuesday afternoon, Green Bay in Northeast Wisconsin. I'm Chris. That's El Cid. We are here till 6 o'clock tonight. We're going to be joined by Mike Silver, NFL Network's very own, in just a second. Talk about his bracket if he would like to, especially if he's dominating in it. One factory worker, Harry, came within one pick. Marquette, South Carolina, of $1 million. Oh, so close and yet so far. Your fan forecast stores, Graphics Storm Center 2, brought to you by Cellcom. 17 clear overnight. Tomorrow, high of 35, Thursday, 43, Thursday night, 35, and then on Friday, high near 50. You get 2 gigabytes of data and unlimited talk and text for just $45 a month on Cellcom's advanced pay plan. Say goodbye to overages, fees, and contracts when you take advantage of this great offer. Restrictions do apply. You're listening to Sportsline here on The Fan. Right now, I want to welcome in Harry. Going way, way back in time, Mike Silver, NFL Network, back in the day covering the Niners, today NFL Network. Mike, how you doing, man?
Good, Chris. How are you guys doing?
Excellent, excellent. Just awaiting spring and awaiting the Packers and free agency to really get after it. Free agency, I guess, has started. We talk about that all the time. But more importantly, your bracket, Mike.
Yeah, we'll get you. What's up, Mike?
Good.
What's up, bud?
Good.
Yeah, how you
how
doing?
You?
I'm doing well. Life is good, man. Anytime we get in. Oh, a friend from the past on the station. I got it's more than just let's speed through it. What's up, my partner?
Always a joy to talk to you, on or off the air. You are one of my favorite humans, and I'm just happy to reconnect. It sounds cold up there, though. You hanging in?
It's I mean, it's 40 degrees, man. It's like a heat wave. This is Wisconsin. We're used to this.
Well, you know, when you guys talk about brackets, I mean, you know, Wisconsin, they're always a player. You know, Kansas, I know, is always a dominant force. But I went to Cal, so, I didn't even fill out a bracket this year. I was so bummed out. Women's tournament, the Bears did win one game, and then we got bounced by Baylor last night. So you guys are speaking your own language. I'm just a bystander watching the big boys play.
Mike Silver, NFL Network here on Sportsline. Colin Kaepernick, Mike, just your thoughts on where he is at right now in terms of those that say maybe a little bit of collusion and being blackballed and all that. But just your thoughts on Kaepernick, where we started, where we're at today.
Well, it is stunning to me that 4 years ago this guy looked like he was on top of the football world, and that was legit. This guy played big in big games. He was obviously an incredible threat with you know, his legs and his arm, and, you know, certainly remember a couple of those Packer playoff games. It didn't look that fun to play him, and, you know, came very close to getting back to the Super Bowl the next year, probably, if he puts the ball 2 inches higher to Michael Crabtree and Richard Sherman can't reach it, then they, you know, they may win that Super Bowl. So, it is a crazy fall from grace. You know, there's the personnel side of things, and where talent evaluators see him and, you know, where he sees himself. Would he be willing to take one of these below market backup type deals? And then there's the whole, you know, perception that he's either a distraction or, you know, if you, in terms of ownership, some people may still be offended by, you know, what they perceived as his behavior, and what it represented. So I'm not sure how much of it is what. I just know that he is certainly one of the best 64 quarterbacks on earth, and, you know, maybe one of the best 32 if he can get it rolling again. But, it, you know, it takes a team and him coming to some sort of agreement. It is early, and I think he'll end up on a roster. But all of that is kind of in play, and I can't conclusively tell you what's what. But, you know, certainly when teams view someone as a distraction, for better or worse, that factors in. And, you know, I remember somebody telling me with Tebow after, you know, after his relatively good year in Denver, and he said, look, it's not fair to the kid because he seems like a nice kid, but he's every bit the distraction that T.O. is. I don't want to deal with the circus.
That's Mike Silver, NFL Network Sportsline. Harry?
You know, with that, now we're going to swing over to the New England Patriots. And what's the story with Malcolm Butler?
Well, I think, Malcolm Butler wants to be paid like a big-time number one corner, and that market has gone up, obviously, with this free agent cycle. The Patriots could have done that, but instead they went out and paid that money to Stephon Gilmore and got him. So, you know, just in terms of the cap and the way the Patriots do things, they're not going to pay two guys that kind of money, and so I think that's your impasse. And, they can have him in theory for one more year at a cheaper price point. If he, unless he's prepared to hold out or try to force something, but the Saints have had some interest. So
yeah, that's what I was going to go to there. Cause what would be the likelihood? You know, we laugh when Joe, because the hoodie is that good, and he's of him figuring a way to trade him to the Saints to get their number one pick to go draft the tight end from Alabama to complete their roster. Is that just rumor?
I don't think the Saints would do it for the 11th overall pick, but the 32nd overall pick, which once belonged to New England, was just exchanged, in the Brandon Cooks trade. I could see it happening for that. So, I don't know when we'll reach critical mass. Will it happen on the clock, on draft night? Will it happen before? Will it not happen at all? But, yeah, those are all the things. And, there are a lot of corners in the draft that teams like. One of them, unfortunately, Sidney Jones tore his Achilles at Pro Day at Washington, though he, believes he'll be able to play some this year, late in the season. And even people like Richard Sherman, who, in my mind is as good a corner as there is, I think there are some scenarios where, teams could go out and try to get him. So I think there's a lot going on, and everybody's kind of laying in the weeds assessing it, and I'm not sure exactly when something might happen, but Malcolm Butler is definitely in play.
That's Mike Silver, NFL Network, here on Sportsline. Harry and Havel, glad to be with you here on this Tuesday afternoon. Ted Thompson, obviously, Mike, frustrates Packer fans this time of year especially, and it's getting that way with myself included here, where, holy man, I don't understand why not going after some. Maybe it's not that time yet in the process, but mid-level veteran guys that Harry and I have been advocates in markets before in the past, and just no interest in it. I mean, I don't think they have enough right now as a pass rushers, inside linebacker even, but your assessment of where the Packers are and the reality of the situation.
Well, I don't know if you've seen me over the years during free agency coverage on NFL Network pretending to be Ted Thompson doing the crossword puzzle, but
right.
I do that quite frequently, and I did it this year, and then I got very excited when the news of Martellus Bennett broke, and I tore up the crossword puzzle on national TV and got pumped. But, that was good. On the other hand, I think if you look at them going into free agency, you'd say, well, first of all, keeping your own guys. If Mike McCarthy really wanted four guys back, it probably would have been Eddie Lacy, Jared Cook, and TJ Lang would have been three, and then Nick Perry. So they got one. They replaced Cook with Bennett, which is great, I think, but you lost the other two. So are they as good as they were when the season ended? On paper, no. The second thing would be, how have they addressed some of the obvious issues? And you mentioned some, but corner would be the first place I'd start, and based on the NFC Championship game, they need help there. So everyone says, well, Ted just builds through the draft. I guess that's okay if you're perpetually trying to keep a team pretty good, and he does draft pretty well a lot of the time. I would argue that this is a rare and unusual window with a once-in-a-generation quarterback, and seldom in NFL history have you followed one of those with another one. I saw it with Montana and Young, and so did Harry. We're seeing it now with Favre and Rodgers, but this doesn't last forever, and I think you need to maximize that window. So I'm baffled by the lack of aggressiveness. Go ahead and draft people, but you only get so many draft picks. also go out and aggressively get people. So we just had a conversation about Malcolm Butler, Richard Sherman, other people being in play at the corner position. I'm no genius, but Aaron Rodgers can cover up a lot. He could not cover up the corner play in the NFC Championship game, and he ain't getting any younger.
You know, Mike, it seemed like over time here, slowly but surely, the more that Mike and the staff and everybody has put on Aaron and he's accepted and been able to do, the balance has eroded, the sense of any kind of balance, not only run pass but offense, defense, to the point where you wake up one day and you're not even sure where – you don't even have a tight end on your roster. Could this be a good signal? I mean, you like the Bennett signing and that and Lance Kendricks. Are the Packers going to get to a point where, hey, let's try to make Aaron's life easier instead of loading stuff on him, try to find ways to make life easier for the quarterback?
Well, I mean, the clock's ticking. There's nothing stopping them from, while we're on the air, going out and, you know, Zach Brown is out there. I mean, I'm not a talent evaluator, and Ted is very good at that. And, you know, I'm sure he will go out and try to add players that he thinks can help. But I just, you know, it's real easy to say, hey, we just built for the draft here when you've got Aaron Rodgers, you know, transcending.
You're expected.
And covering up your weaknesses, but I just think that's a ridiculous approach. And you look at people who've been in that building, like John Schneider, who went out and got Jimmy Graham, who, you know, has swung and missed with Percy Harvin, but still, you know, went to back-to-back Super Bowls and cut his losses. I just think it's ridiculous to stay passive, and I would be stunned if there aren't a lot of players and coaches in that building who share my perspective.
It's Mike Silver, NFL Network, obviously. Dwight Clark, Gale Sayers, both in the news.
Yeah.
Mike, you want to comment on that? Harry, last, besides that, anything with Mike?
Well, with that being said, and it's always a pleasure, Mike, with that being said, is it all, there's a few guys out there, you know, that, you know, you, like you said, you mentioned is Zach Brown. You know, you have Adrian Peterson, the Gears, you know, as their running backs, but haven't the Packers almost missed the window to improve their team by free agency?
I mean, I can't tell you from a talent evaluation perspective who's better and who's not. I mean, I'll trust Ted and his great personnel department on that, but I don't understand why they wouldn't be aggressive. The times when they've even gotten bargain free agents, it seems to really help. Julius Peppers helped a lot. Charles Woodson obviously helped a ton. Jared Cook ended up helping. So I don't understand the passivity. It will always baffle me, and I know they've won a lot of games, and they have great coaches and a great quarterback, but at some point, I think they're underachieving in this window, and if I were a Packer fan, I'd be real frustrated.
Adrian Peterson in a Packers uniform, no one ever thought, or maybe.
I mean, right now they have what? Ty Montgomery, a converted receiver, did a nice job as your only running back.
That's it.
You only have 8 draft picks, and you have to draft some corners. So,
yeah, right.
You know, what's the downside of trying to sign a Jamal Charles or Adrian Peterson? Oh, maybe they're on the wrong side of 30, and they're okay. Well, get one of those guys or both.
Yeah.
Draft somebody, and you know, go out and try to find somebody else. I just. Go get everybody, load up, and take some swings. And, you know, nothing bad's going to happen. You can always just print more stock and get more money, and you have a beautiful stadium and the greatest fan base in the world. Let's enjoy these last few Aaron Rodgers years of playing at an insanely high level and try to actually, I think they should be trying to win games 51-7 instead of, you know, needing a miracle pass to Jared Cook and a pair of very long field goals to pull out a playoff game. I think they should be, with Aaron Rodgers, I think they should be smacking people upside the head. That's just me.
That's Mike Silver, NFL Network, never pulling any punches, Harry Sidney. That's all you have, mine. That's what I love.
There you go.
Great stuff, Mike. Really appreciate you taking the time, and look forward to checking in with you here either right before or right after the draft.
All right, guys. Great talking to you.
All right, man. Thanks, man.
Take care. Mike Silver, NFL Network, Harry. And, I mean, he's saying, yeah, doesn't understand it. He's been an advocate of this. That's been his mantra for a long time now. And we'll see what so far Ted's been fairly reserved. I mean, Eddie Lacy, I understand. If you feel like you have a plan that's going to be better than Lacy, that's fine. And it's too early to say that they aren't going to have a better running game than what they did, although it couldn't be worse. It was as bad as it had been in the last 23 years. So, you know, they got to get better there. And Montgomery by himself is not going to be enough.
Well, that's why part of what my thing before he signed with Seattle, and hats off for him signing, it was for the price tag. I mean, we always talk about coaches. Well, if you're going to let one go, you got to have somebody to replace them.
Mm-hmm.
This would have been a case when, you know, whether it's they're tired of dealing with Eddie's weight, and you know, I was listening to the show different times about the different weight rituals and losing weight and all that stuff, and that's all part of the NFL, and that's what they get paid that money. But you didn't have anybody to take his place, and to count on it for just being Montgomery, because now, where you should be, where you might be filling a hole at corner, now you got to pay attention to the hole at running back.
Some are saying Jamaal Charles' knees aren't going to allow him, because of the numerous injuries and all that, to play going ahead. And there's a couple of things here, Harry, with that. Do they mean that he just doesn't have it anymore because of all the injuries have taken away the what made him special? Or is it because you risk the injuries going ahead, or both? Or is it just merely posturing because you can get them cheaper, and right now, you know, why brag on a guy? Better to just say, yeah, we're in no hurry.
Well, you know, and the thing about that is you're not in a hurry, but you are in a hurry because you wanted to get the guy in camp. You want to get him there so he knows what he's doing and learns those things. Because how long did it take now, Dave? And then you had Christian Michaels took forever to get out there. So you get the guy, and for a guy like that with injuries, you can really protect yourself because most of the contract can be incentive-based.
Do you think Jamaal Charles, based on how the experience and the savvy that he's got, if you don't have the explosiveness, does that mean he's just not the same guy? Or how much does that experience matter?
Experience is, you know, when you're in a defensive back, because you can see the formation, you can cheat, or you can line up, and you know you can see where the play is going, but you're running back, and that's why at a certain age, you know, we lose the burst. You can be patient, but now you can't get through the hole.
You know where you need to be, but the body won't get you there like it used to.
Yeah, yeah. And with defensive backs, you can maybe hide that, especially for safety, because you see the formation, and you can cheat up.